Sean and I went to the Cat Show.
Oh, yeah.
This last weekend.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a crowd of people that love cats just beaming. And they just walk out with cats and they don't do anything. They're just
like, hold them up.
And people are just going, oh, unbelievable. Look at that thing.
I feel like I was like, Angela would love the Cat Show, but she would absolutely be showing cats at the Cat Show. She'd just be.
Yes. There'd be some pretty deep politics going on.
Oh, and all the other people who are presenting would hate her.
Yeah.
I would love, like, do you think they do like play by play on a cat show like that? There she is, athletic marvel. At this or any age.
Unfortunately not, because again, they don't do anything.
The golden paw of Brixton.
She's a winner. A winner. Oh, Bob Vance, dude, running a cat show.
I'm thinking more of Dwight. Pure breed. Mixed breed, and pure breed.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dundermyth, then the people versus paper people. Dundermyth, then the people versus paper people. Dundermyth, then the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and the old guy from the Six Flags commercial, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, inventor of Computron.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I don't know if you like country music, but I was thinking maybe one of these days, God bless America.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week is a voicemail episode. We've got lots of calls. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail, you can do that by calling 503-694-9314. And it'll
but
be on,
get on this
next yeah. voicemail episode. Yeah,
call them in, guys. Call them in right now.
Call, as you're listening.
We often reach months back to get voicemails, so you're never out of the
true.
Game.
The switchboards are lighting up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're at about every 2 months now or something like that. But anyways, after that, we'll head to the conference room for a new segment called Fundle Bundle. First, Edwin will reprimand Alex and I for something that we didn't do.
That's the Fundle.
And then he will regale us with an office-related story from the Philippines.
Yeah, still more.
Before we get into all that, Alex, do we have any housekeeping?
Well, first of all, happy spring to you both. Happy spring to anyone who celebrates. It's going to be
spring.
Spring is springing.
And I do.
And we are bringing more podcasts. And to help us do that, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/Michael Scott. Join the Scott's Tots for $5 a month, which is going to get you our monthly mailbags. We just posted one. One of our best yet, 2.5 hours. We answer every question that comes in from our Scott's Tots. We talk about The Office. We talk about life and everything in between. So check that out. We make regular donations as a part of that income that we get from Patreon. We have put out exclusive episodes, all sorts of stuff behind a highly secured firewall that you can access for, again, $5 a month. So not much. Not much. We haven't raised prices ever. Okay.
And we never will.
You might hear about inflation. You might hear about all this. Everyone else, not us. We're going backwards. Getting cheaper.
Yeah. $1.50 with a soda.
Cheaper by the dozen. Yeah. We're like Costco hot dogs. We don't budge. And that's all there for you. There's also a Discord I urge you to join. It's popping. There's a lot of channels. Some like-minded folks. Kayla, who runs our Discord, was running some Jackbox games. We used to do that all the time. Quiplash.
Oh,
remember
fun.
Those games? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump in there.
And Kayla was hosting. People were jumping on, playing games together. That's the kind of community you can be a part of. By the way, the Discord is free, open to the public. There's links in our episode description to join the Discord. And then there are private Scott's Tots channels as well. So how'd I do? Is that it? What I
very
oh,
good.
The store.
Very
you
good.
You want to talk about the store? You want to wait till we...
MSPCstore.com. We got some... We still have mugs. We still got a t-shirt. New stuff coming very soon.
Crewneck Crew is almost back.
Almost back.
Join us.
We got the samples in the mail. once those are done, they'll be up. So start.
You really are getting money. Costco level.
Start
membership,
getting
ready. Hot dog prices, samples. Yeah.
Right as the warmth of the sun starts hitting, say boom, sweaters go on sale. That's what we're doing here. Stock up.
There is one more piece of housekeeping. I think, Sean, you forgot to mention, we're going to revisit our friend Smookler's Trivia at the end of this episode.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's right. Yes, of course. Thank you. Yeah, we do. We have some trivia from our friend of the pod and listener, Smookler, who this has been hanging on for a while. So we're going to finally finish that up. And thank you, sir, for sending that. Okay, let's get into it. Alex, can you feed us some voicemails, please?
I shall feed you. And we're going to start with voicemail coming in from Michael in Pennsylvania.
Hey, this is Michael from Lititz, Pennsylvania. Just had a quick question for the folks of MSPC. Just wondering, what do you guys think would happen if there was some sort of doomsday or apocalyptic event in the Office universe? Who would survive? Who would maybe be the person that would hide the zombie bite, or who would be the person that has the gun? What would they do in a survival situation like that? Who would survive? Who would thrive? Who might die on the first day? I got some theories about it, but I'm going to leave the theories to you guys. Absolutely love the podcast. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. And to all y'all listening, make sure you keep doing so. This is some good stuff. And then I'll see you guys later.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
The Office in a sort of a, basically in a zombie movie plot. Who's right. Who?
A different question, I would say, if you're going like apocalypse, doomsday, or zombie specifically. That feels like two different options here.
We'll play around with it here.
But we have precedent for this. Pam will be taken slave. Jim will be a warlord's jester. And Meredith will do just fine.
Yeah.
Creed's skull will be a soup bowl. Cool beans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like an easy answer is certainly that, you know, Dwight is a survivor, Creed is a survivor, Meredith is a survivor. These three in particular are going to do what needs to be done.
We should also assume that the group is together.
Correct.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they all have to stay together.
This all happened very suddenly over the course of a workday, and they are now taking refuge in the Dunder Mifflin Scranton branch.
Correct. Good, I think, because this removes Dwight from his farm, you know, where he probably has all kinds of things buried underground, stashed everywhere.
Shelter, yeah.
Right.
Landmines.
Correct.
Trebuchet.
I think there would be some sort of thing where maybe, I just imagine Dwight also not having all of his weapons. I could see him having some of his weapons, but I think Kevin would probably grab some of the weapons behind accounting, like the file for Mr. A knife. So there would be a little bit of things spread out. There would be stuff underneath the kitchen table, which maybe Toby or Kelly could get. I think there would be a division of weapons. So I don't think there would be one person who has that power.
That could lead to some infighting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sort of annex against the bullpen scenario.
This is the thing. Can the office stay strong? Can they not succumb to infighting? Can there not be some two strong decision makers who have different ideas of what they should do? Someone say they should hole up where they are. Others say they should leave. Right.
Dwight is the leader of one camp and Jim is the leader of another, perhaps.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. I'm also imagining
Dwight's camp.
Angela
Creed.
Yeah. Well, it can only be people that Dwight likes. I don't know.
Nate?
Yeah.
Or people who are afraid of him. I mean, he could rule by fear, you know.
I could see Ryan and Kelly joining Dwight.
Yeah.
If even just to be against Jim.
Because Dwight promises them power in the next future kingdom that he plans to build.
Right.
Right.
Erin would go where Kelly goes, even though she feels really bad. Mm-hmm. She really likes Jim and Pam.
Right.
I do think Dwight's
going to be put himself in charge pretty quickly. I don't know how well he'll like things get really like things would be very, very serious. I mean, this is a real serious deal here. And
serious, guys.
We've never quite seen The Office in that sort of a situation, right? We don't actually know what's going to happen.
I'm picturing other times when they have panicked or
stress
felt,
relief.
Backed into a corner.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking of The List where they all line up and just start fighting each other. Mm-hmm. Just melee style.
Who do you think like conceals the zombie bite or does the thing that maybe might lead to the downfall of the group?
Maybe that's a Jim. Maybe people think Jim is going to be their leader, but then he gets a zombie bite. And then Pam almost has to become the new Jim.
Yeah, then he flips up the collar on his overcoat and mm-hmm. Bye, Dwight. Yeah.
The vampiric gene.
I think perhaps they like go down to the warehouse for like supplies or something, and there's a zombie down there. There's an altercation. They
zombie
shoot
Daryl.
Him. Daryl.
I think Nate's got to be the first zombie. Right.
Yeah. Nate's the first zombie.
I feel like,
yeah, you're right.
You know, but he's still basically Nate. Like he's still
why
very
is Nate,
like.
Why is Nate acting weird? He's not acting weird. That's just how Nate acts.
Nate falls to his knees.
That's a little weirder than usual. Kevin also, I think, could be a good one with it.
Yeah.
How they just totally don't even notice
similar,
that he's
similar to his. Oh yeah. Like I can see Kevin making some kind of oversight that he thinks is just natural.
He'd be the zombie that comes in and they like run and he just goes to the vending machine and loots it just like he does in Stress Relief.
Even as a zombie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one for you. How it trickles in or how the seal is broken, which is we're at Dunder Mifflin Scranton, but we're also at the Dunder Mifflin Business Park. And Phyllis has a significant other downstairs that she will go check on. And I'm thinking Phyllis, they're like, Phyllis, don't leave. And she's like, I gotta see Bob.
I have to see Bob.
Because Bob hasn't come upstairs yet. And I think she goes down and maybe gets bit by Leo or Gino, who are little zombies running around.
Yeah.
Maybe Bob's already turned. But I think Phyllis would come back and they'd be like, where's Bob? Phyllis. And like, Bob's gone. But I think she would have she'd have the bite she would hide. Be
Phyllis, were you wearing a jacket earlier?
Yeah.
It's really hot in here.
I think she turns, and I think she gets Stanley.
I can also see Michael.
Oh,
Michael
my
Cousin.
God. Stanley getting bit.
Leave it, woman. I could see Michael letting all of the zombies in on accident or something like that.
Right.
I could see Michael being the one to,
Well, you want to be quiet. You don't want to draw attention. And we see in Stress Relief, he's going to throw an overhead projector out of the window and scream help. Mm-hmm. And he's going to surround the building with zombies. And I think this all ends on the rooftop with Jim and Pam in the movie, right? They'd be the last two.
Mm-hmm. I can see Michael trying to get Toby bitten so that he has an excuse to kill Toby. And I think that's the thing that lets in the zombies. Yeah.
He's just,
I can just like, get him just, bitten, just that little bit.
I just need to let one in, just one.
Yeah. And then we can kill both of them. Yeah.
Maybe he tries to lock Toby
then,
down in the lobby.
As soon as he bites Toby, I jump out, I bash him.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's all done.
Hold on. These are all, I love all this. I don't think there's a gun on site. Hank could get involved somehow here.
Hank could also be another zombie, too, that they think.
I can also see Hank seeing the zombies come in and being like, nope, goodbye. Got me on your own. Got my eyes open.
You would not believe what they do.
Any other? Did we answer every?
All right, yes.
So, I think we answered it. I think there's a. I don't think we're dealing with a gun, really. I think the movie plays out with Jim and Pam. Maybe a helicopter comes in, gets them off the rooftop. Everyone else is gone.
Everyone else is dead.
I think there'd be a little infighting.
I think Dwight's last act would be to sacrifice himself so that Jim and Pam can escape.
I think you're right.
That would be his hero turn at the very end after he's been antagonizing Jim the whole time and trying to take power.
Yeah. And he's already lost Angela.
They'd be going up that ladder. They'd be going up that ladder that Jim is using to get away from Robert California to get to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're, and the like, zombies are
zombies
also climbing.
Swarming and like ripping Dwight apart.
And he's like, we need to block the ladder. And he lets him go up. And then right, they're like, Dwight, come up. And he does the thing where he's like, you know, raise my son. And then he closes the hatch. Dwight, no.
No. Oh, yeah. I'll see you on that great beet farm in the sky.
I mean, this is one way to do a reboot.
Big tuna. Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Andy's early.
Andy?
Early death. Yeah, early
oh,
death.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very early.
Great question, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do we got next?
Let's move on to...
Move it on.
Let's go down to Arkansas. A little town called Little Rock. Might have heard of it. Check in with Cedar.
What up, Cynthia? It's Cedar Fascio from Little Rock calling again. I am your newest Patreon member.
Hey!
Glad to be a Scott's Tot. I was listening to the very first Scott's Tot's mailbag you guys are talking about. People that Michael has definitely hired. And I'm thinking, since he got promoted from the sales team and he had to hire so many people, you know, like Jim, Dwight, and Packers out on the road, so, you know, probably had to replace him. I'm just thinking, was there like a mass quitting when Michael was promoted to manager because he's so incompetent? Surely there was somebody else on the sales team that like was vying for the position. Maybe like when, you know, Jim gets promoted to co-manager and Dwight is just like screaming in his talking head. Surely there must have been people like that that were also trying to get promoted. And maybe like a bunch of people walked out when he got promoted. So then he had to hire like a bunch of new people for the office. Just food for thought. Never thought about that before until you guys were naming all the people that he must have hired. So let me know. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, Cedar.
Thank you.
That's a great point. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, and remind me too, I don't think that, Michael did not hire Creed, did not hire Stanley. Phyllis. Yeah.
I think those probably are the only three, right? Phyllis, Stanley, and
Meredith
and Creed they were there. Cause we know Ed Truck hired Creed. Mm-hmm. I think the same is for Stanley.
Well, Phyllis is like, that's a shame about Ed. He was a good guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely was hired by
it. Could also see Toby having been hired by corporate.
Right.
Right.
So that leaves kind of the rest of the staff.
And we talk about it often too, that it's like, you know, what we don't see before the TV show begins is all the years of Todd Packer being in the office and Michael worshiping him. And I could absolutely see corporate picking Michael to move up and lots of people just being like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this mm-hmm. guy is so inappropriate. He's like this date rapist's henchman, basically. and a bunch of people walk out. And Stanley's like, I'm not going back into the job market. I'm going to retire here. And he stays.
Maybe he got a raise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also imagine that Michael wasn't full Michael during his salesperson days. I know that like they talk about the sales experience and blowing the whistle and stuff like that.
Yeah,
the train whistle,
point.
You know, during the whole thing. But mm-hmm. I imagine that like Michael doesn't have the free rein to do his sketches and play all his characters as a salesperson, especially as mm-hmm. one, you know, with Stanley, Phyllis, and Todd. If he was one of their peers, it's hard to imagine he'd be doing the exact same thing. I could imagine Todd being upset about it happening and him deciding to go on the road as like his only option, really. I'm an institution, you know. And I could also see the other thing that we know from the merger is that Michael is very, very good at making people quit. So I don't imagine it would be a mass quitting with the announcement, but I could imagine after a few weeks of this new
slow
brand
trickle
of conference room meetings and different characters and things, that people would start to drop off one by one.
Yes. Whoever was maybe on the fence or already had thoughts of leaving definitely left. I think that wiped out a lot of people. And I think it's a really good point you make, Edwin, that like Michael, part of what makes Michael who he is the fact that he is manager, and that amount of power has gone to his head and changed the way he interacts with people. So yeah, he might not have been that bad. And then he's like, oh, he's in charge. This is bad. And I mean, we two salesmen were still there, still Phyllis and Stanley. He had to hire another four salesmen. And then we know he hired Kevin when he didn't need to.
You think as well that, okay, so I wonder too if Michael was almost too good of a salesman for his own good, which is to say that he probably got promoted because he was the best salesman and managed all the biggest clients. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the reason that he was promoted. And I can imagine Michael arriving in the managerial position and then saying to whoever is in Jan's role at the time, maybe it's Jan, maybe someone else, so what do I do? Like, well, you built the client roster, you manage the sales team, support them however they need, make sure that, you know, they're in a good place to sell. And then all of a sudden, Michael doesn't have anything to do anymore. So with a lot of free time, he starts to play around with magic tricks. He starts making jokes because he wants the salesman to always be happy and to laugh. And then he becomes this version of himself because managing the client's roster that he built, and like, it isn't that hard for him to maintain the good relationships with,
Kaz,
you know, Bruce, right? Like, he has these relationships with these people, and maybe he can kind of maintain it. And I wonder if that's how he becomes the way he is.
That's I really like that. They tell him to support the sales staff, and he's like, so entertain them. I gotcha.
Right.
And then the rest of the job comes easy to him, so he's got all this free time to distract people.
And yeah, the performance of the branch has never really been an issue, so his understanding of the job has always been a little flawed. Which he is doesn't keeping the even... troops fed, keeping them entertained, keeping morale up is like his number one goal.
Yeah, he doesn't even totally understand like where he lands between corporate and the branch. Mm-hmm. You know, we get the time that sometimes I forget I'm corporate, and they get him the lawyer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I imagine too, like, there are probably some positions that just like cycle through. We don't know exactly how long Michael is manager when the show starts. And so it doesn't seem like it's been an incredibly long time, but you know, there is like probably,
it's been like 6-7 years
somewhere. Yeah. I mean, 5-6 years.
But when the show starts.
Yeah.
That's Michael has been manager.
Yeah.
That just based on that he has his 15-year anniversary.
In
season five. So yeah, he's like 10 years in.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Wild.
Man.
Or 15 years he's been with the company.
With the company.
Right.
Correct.
With the company, not manager. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we don't know how long he's been manager. Yeah.
Just get him some figs and it'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Cedar. Amazing question.
Yeah, great question. Let's moving on here.
And throwback to the original mailbag. That's awesome.
Yeah. I know. I wonder, man, I have not gone back to the old mailbags. We're on.
A reminder, if you join Patreon, there's hours of backlog.
We just put out number 46.
Oh my God.
So 46 months.
Oh my God.
And they're always extra long.
And they're all bangers. Mm-hmm. They're all bangers. Just saying. Banger, I hardly know her. Let's go to the next voicemail.
Edwina. Edwina. Miss you, buddy. Miss you so much.
There's a chunk of time when Edwin was gone, and we got a few of those, so I had
to, yeah.
Had that to is good.
That's nice. The only reason to get out of the game is to get reluctantly called back in. One of the quotes that I use the most in my everyday life.
All right, another one from an old friend here.
You come to my house? bust in my trash can, call my baby sister an asshole and tell her to eat dog food?
That's the whole voicemail. Sometimes we get the voicemails, and I've talked about this in the past, but Google Voice's
transcription
abilities aren't great, but occasionally I get a preview of it with the email of like, you got a voicemail. And sometimes when they're short or someone's doing a line and all I see is asterisks on asshole and just it looks mad or angry. And I'm like, no. But usually it's Thaddeus doing a bit. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, Thaddeus.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Austin here. The person who is not in Texas, but Austin in Michigan. This is a little longer than we normally allow, but a deep dive happened and some real research and work went into this. And this is a in-depth review of our season 2 auction draft we did a few weeks ago.
Where
we all drafted season 2 episodes. So let's see what Austin's got to say here.
What's up, MSPC, Industrial P? Welcome back, Edwin. Thanks for dropping that season 2 auction draft. Really enjoyed it. This is Austin from the UP, Michigan Upper Peninsula. And I listened to that episode on a long run. And when it ended, I got thinking about how I could quantify the data in Google Sheets and figure out who won. You know, like a total thing to think about while you're running. So I'm giving you guys a call to let you know how you did, in case you're curious. And if you're not, that's okay. You don't have to play this on the episode. I might go over 30 seconds. And no matter who wins, I just want to say that you guys are all winners of the draft in my eyes. All right. The winner of the draft is Sean Roney.
Bullshit.
All
of your guys' selections and brought in the Nielsen ratings and IMDb ratings. I ranked each of those on a scale of 1 to 15, added them together from the weighted value and added all of those together. So Sean got first place. He had number 1 and number 2, the heavy hitters, The Injury, then Christmas Party. Edwin, you came in second place with the Dundies and Booze Cruise as your heavy hitters, numbers 3 and 4 in the overall weighted rankings.
Fucking
Alex, you had number 5, Casino Night, and then a tie for 6 and 7, Boys and Girls in the Office Olympics. So you all did pretty great. Like you said, the heavy hitters were pretty well spread out. Alex and Edwin, you were a lot closer together, but Sean, you really pulled that victory away. I just got kind of bored and played around with some data. Like I said, normal thing to do on a Friday night. Love the show. Keep it up. And look forward to more captive audience. Really enjoyed the Dune cast. I was really excited you guys were Dune.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Austin, thank you so much. That's
so cool.
Dude, that is awesome. Sean Love Roney being told. The dub. That I was
winner.
Successful. The winner.
Sean, the least competitive of the
I'm
three
victorious.
Of us. coming out on top of the mountain.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah. You know, it just comes easy to some of us.
Some of us just
I really love,
wait, we're the best player on
I
the floor.
Love I love victory speed, Sean. This is not a person we get to see
I've
often.
Never seen this.
Not because he doesn't win things, but because he never takes the moment to like, you
take
know.
It. Why don't you take it, Sean?
Jokingly or wholeheartedly.
Tell us what went into that.
Ask.
You know, I really, guys, I just picked from the heart. I picked the episodes that were most important to me. And that's how you do it. You just got to believe in yourself. Be true to yourself, and you'll beat everybody. I had thought at the end of that Alex had a pretty dang good list. So I did too. I'm very pleased.
I told you guys this, but I had the one sort of big thing where I put out sexual harassment first and thought that I could get you to spend some money and take that episode, and then I ended up with it.
Right.
And then that totally compromised everything because I had less picks, less money.
Rule.
Yeah. the big victory or the big value play there must have, was Christmas Party, because Christmas Party only went for like $7.
Yeah,
and it was like, my roster is too compressed now.
And it was one of, sounds like it was one it was of the number ones two. That
yeah
yeah.
Golly,
God, it feels good.
Good job, Sean. I'm so happy for you, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. You'll get it next time.
Really happy for you.
Really happy for you. Too bad your fantasy basketball. I decided to do another option draft.
I don't even play fantasy basketball.
He doesn't anymore. He doesn't. But no. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you won something. You know, it's just nice to win one.
Just nice to win one.
I would love feels if good. Sean, yeah. Like, we do a bunch of auction drafts and Sean just rattles off like 14 consecutive auction draft wins.
Just
just unstoppable. Just
Tiger Woods, just 14, 15 majors.
We have to like handicap him so he only gets like $14. He still manages to beat us.
It's going to, that's
$14
how it's
and two picks and he still manages to beat
all
us.
All my heart needs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really happy for you, Sean.
I'm happy for myself too, and thank you, Austin, for not only for doing that work but for naming me the winner. I appreciate that.
That's why we do it. All right, we're going to take a short quick break and be back with the rest of these voicemails. All right, back on the Michael Scott Podcast Company, we got the voicemail machine rolling right now, and here comes another one. This is from Chelsea in Oklahoma.
What up, Cynthia? This is Chelsea, hey. Vendor Miss in Oklahoma City, and I am so excited to call after listening to the episode about D'Angelo and the juggling and learning that Alex is a really good juggler and can even walk on a slackline juggling clubs with Rafe and Feather. I think that's so awesome. I myself am a professional juggler, and
yeah,
I'm actually
okay,
calling
yes.
to correct you about something not office related for once.
Oh boy.
And that is the difference between a parabola and a diabolo.
Diabolo.
Alex, you said, the parabolas, that's the two sticks with a string and a yo-yo looking thing. I just know that all the jugglers out there are yelling at their radios because that is called a diabolo. And a parabola is a U-shaped curve that is essentially the path a juggling ball takes in the air. So when Andy says, I myself play with the parabolas, he's talking about the literal curve that the juggling ball takes through the air when you juggle.
Wow.
The prop that is a yo-yo looking thing on a string with two sticks
it's
called a diabolo or diabolo.
Yeah.
And I just needed you to know that because you're going to have children soon and you have a responsibility to teach them proper juggling nomenclature.
You're right.
All right. Love the podcast. Am a proud tot and keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thanks, Chelsea. Boy,
it's a couple of back-to-back L's for Alex.
Yeah, I'm just self-flagellating today on the voicemails.
That's okay. You're gonna coast to fantasy basketball glory.
I know. But if I don't, what a failure, right? It's one of those like
Alex is
nervous. Just I want to be relieved.
Alex is matched up against me in fantasy basketball this weekend after my team's initial performance. It'll be a tough hill to climb back up.
Round two of the playoffs. But anyway, Chelsea, yes.
Thanks to Chelsea, friend of the pod, for quite a while now. So really nice to have you call in and share that insight with us. Amazing.
I feel
to
pretty
have
bad
you
about this. This is a lot of egg on my face. I have egg on my Crocs, and that's on me. And as much as I juggled and played with that stuff as a kid, and until not that long, but up through college probably, I should know this. I should know this. There's several different types of juggling, right? But
It takes the Diablo a big man to admit your mistake, and you are that big man.
I know. You guys have been to the house I grew up in, and we had a pretty big family room, which is kind of where our fireplace was down in the back, and it had a pretty high ceiling, so I was able to, when I got a Diablo, I could actually like throw it up pretty high. If I couldn't go outside or whatever. And then my backyard was really big, so I could like really get it up there. So I really enjoyed playing with those. And I can't believe I called it a parabola, like a dummy.
I had one of those too as a kid, and that was, those were really fun. I wasn't like super good at it, but I loved playing with it. And then the three sticks too. What, the death,
the devil sticks,
stick or devil sticks? Yeah.
Oh, the parabola sticks. Yeah, those are fun. Now, do you ever get sold those at Saturday Market? You see the guy doing them, and you're like, I gotta have it.
Yeah.
Did you guys also get sold yo-yos when you were kids? Like the yo-yo people come to town.
It was
what
a
was
thing.
That?
Yes, that is correct.
There was a yo-yo trend when we were around. I want to say
I was
like
9, 10. I was like
98 through 2000 or something. It was really short-lived, but they also made the yo-yos that
it's
could
a very
like
up and down trend. We'll say.
Yeah.
Oh.
Walk the dog on that one. Back in our day, younger listeners, trends happened by a guy coming to your elementary school and giving a presentation about it, and everyone bought it. That's how trends happened. None of this online stuff. We had a yo-yo trend. Yeah. We had a Pogs trend. We had an origami trend. You remember that? That was a hot one for a minute. I feel like origami got real big. Origami.
Yeah.
Or you would get VHS tapes in the mail. Pokemon, And1 Mixtape Tour.
Oh. Yeah. The And1 Mixtape Tour might have been the greatest trend of all time for what the age I was, for what I was looking for. That hit so good.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
I mean, couldn't do better.
Shout out to the professor, still going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oregon's really finest. Yeah.
I tried to interview him for a story once. Got rejected by his agent. He's big time now. I know. Wow. Anyway. Thanks, Chelsea. I don't think I could. It would take me a lot of practice to get back to the juggling pins on a slack line again, but that was my early college. That was my peak. That's about as good as I ever got.
Gosh, I was never able to juggle, really.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't. I don't have the hand-eye coordination to do something like
you
that.
You could learn. You could learn at any age.
Juggling, I've been there, golfing for 3 years now, and I shot a 131 yesterday. So,
yeah, but you haven't been like golfing for 3 years. You haven't really, like, you know, you're not.
No, you're right. You're right.
Did you guys golf together yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who won? I couldn't think of a follow-up question. I couldn't think of a follow-up question.
We weren't playing. We're not playing each other. We're just having fun. Yeah. We're out there to have fun with a friend who didn't show up, and I'm putting him on blast. Instead, we got our friend Danny, who's different than Matt. No, just kidding. We love Danny so much.
And we have more voicemails.
We do. Thank you. Let's move on here. I don't think I was given a name for this one.
Okay.
But here we go.
Not much. What's up with you? No, it's okay. I'm in the bathroom. Hey, you've been watching Damages this year? It's so good. Yeah, you'll have to tune in. It's good as anything on HBO. Hey, does blue go with tan? Like a blue shirt? I don't wear a lot of colors. So I got a lot of tan.
I hope someone overheard just that voicemail being left.
Yeah, I hope you really recorded it in the bathroom.
Very good.
Just good work being done out there. Mm-hmm. I did. This did prompt me though. He talks about HBO in there. Is there any other? I feel like there was a lot of good shows that kind of finished up in the last like 6 months. Is there anything new on your radar? Anything you've been watching that's good? I feel like we're in a bit of a in between phase right now. Like movies are hitting right now, but TV feels like it's in a little bit of a gray area. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I mean, we're in the middle of season 11 of Vanderpump Rules.
Okay.
But, you know, after Scandoval, this is kind of falling off a little bit. I don't really, you know. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I rest my case. Anything new that's good? Well, season 11 of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. On the TV front, not so much for me. I feel like I've been more on the movie tip recently.
I mean, part of it's our other podcast, Captive Audience, which we didn't say it's housekeeping, but yeah, that's where we talk about movies.
Oh, yeah. Austin.
Nacho Libre episode out now.
Nacho Libre available by the time this episode comes out, if you're into that. We got Mulholland Drive on deck. Crazy stuff happening in that space, but You guys watching Shogun? That seems like the marquee show right now.
Oh, that's the one that a lot of people are talking about. Yeah, yeah. I have not watched it yet.
Yeah.
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 I've not seen
this. It's good. I like it. It's very dense. It's almost Game of Thrones, but a little... It's Game of Thrones with subtitles, so there's just one extra thing to that you got to get over to get into it, I feel like.
Yeah, I disagree, man. I watch everything with subtitles. Game of Thrones with subtitles, just Game of Thrones for me.
But I mean, yeah, but those are subtitles just so that, like, the thing about it is when you're not looking at the screen, you can still hear what's going on. Right. Do you know what I mean? You still hear them talking in English, but this is, like, you know, in Japanese. So if you look away or you miss a bit, like, it's such a dense show. It's like, you got to rewind and see everything they said. And I struggle with that, but that's more of my own attention span problems than the shows. Mm-hmm. But it's rewarding once you're into it, but you got to put in a little work to really sink your teeth into it. But it's a good show. Good show. Good program.
Hmm.
Anyway, thought we'd have more there, but I was wrong.
I'm just patiently waiting for Severance 2 and Beef 2. Those are the shows. Oh, and I guess White Lotus 3. Stuff,
yeah, there's stuff that, you know, and this is not, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Sometimes with these questions, I feel like I need way more notice, because what will happen is, like, in the moment I'll be like, I can't think of anything. And then, like, yeah, when we're done and sure, I'm like going to sleep at night, I'll be like, I thought of that. Like, all of these things, they fly out in the moment. So we need
Yeah, I also another thing that's getting heavily,
ideally.
Another thing that's getting heavily promoted to me is the Nickelodeon documentary Quiet on Set, which I cannot bring myself to watch just yet. As somebody who grew up with all that and Amanda Bynes and all that Drake and Josh and all that, man, it's that one's going to be really hard. Yeah. And
is it being promoted to you, or is it your TikTok algorithm?
Yes.
Yes. I know it is funny that just
I say this because things hit Sean and I sometimes at like the exact same time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you've got it too.
All right.
Yeah.
How about we do one more voicemail here? How's that sound?
That'd be great.
How's that sound? Okay. Here we go. This is
Sublime.
I was never given a name.
First of all, I want to say, parenting episode, not enough talk about Daryl. I think you spoke about him like one time for 1 second. Second of all, more importantly, maybe not more important, but just as importantly, Meredith Palmer has 2 kids. In the webisodes, it states that she gives her daughter to her ex-husband, or he took her, or something to that effect. I don't exactly remember the details, but I do remember Meredith Palmer has 2 kids.
We
and if you
sure
watch the
webisodes,
I'm very disappointed that Edwin does not know this, because he seems to know all the extra nerdy stuff. You guys
Wait,
just know the regular
why do
nerdy
I not know
stuff.
This? How does she have 2 kids?
What? Why? Why do you not know this? Meredith Palmer has 2 kids. And in the webisodes, she clearly states that her husband, ex-husband, is now in custody of the daughter.
And she's left with Jakey. That is why she refers to 2 kids. That is why.
And that is all. Sir, this is a Wendy's restaurant.
She does have that voice. I had to play this, Edwin. I know that you know this, but only Sean and I were on this episode.
Yeah.
So Edward wasn't here, and Sean and I were like, Meredith has 2 kids, right? We're like, yeah, we're pretty sure. And I just love that Edwin's catching all the heat here from not being on the episode.
Your indignation is righteous yet misplaced.
Yeah.
I do not deserve the ire of your fervor.
No.
I knew Meredith had 2 kids. She's always like, perfect day, no kids. Damn it, Meredith, where are your kids? Yeah.
We do. So apologies for that. But I also want to just touch on real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Daryl. We did not talk about Daryl as a parent enough. I think. And yet he really is one of the more visible parents that we see on the show outside of Jim and Pam. Like we meet, Jada comes in a couple times into the office.
Yep.
So we see them interacting directly, but we also see him, chasing down a princess unicorn or buying Girl Scout cookies or all, like, he does all these things on the mm-hmm. periphery as well. So he's a very visible and active parent. So we did not talk about him enough. That's on us.
When you mentioned Jada coming into the office, I just imagined her bursting in and giving him a hug and being like, I don't know if you'd be a great manager, but he's a great dad. And then I also love, I mean, the other thing that comes to mind immediately when you think of Daryl's parenting, it's like, you're going to have to choose me or your daughter. My daughter.
My daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good dad moment for him.
Instantaneous. Yeah.
There is. Yeah. And I love getting, like Kelly's still just like, that was the wrong choice. Like, you dumb. Yeah. She's so, she can't believe it. My daughter.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't even look up. Yeah.
No. Daryl's quiet power is unmatched.
Yeah.
On the office. Mm-hmm. Right? They are jackals.
Start over.
They
start
are jackals.
Sir.
Yeah.
Idiot. Idiot. So shout out to Daryl. Apologies on Sean and I's behalf, not on Edwin's behalf.
Yes.
For our uncertainty about,
we should know these things. We're sorry.
Weirdest kid count. it's Creed who doesn't know how many kids he has. You know, a few kids came out of the woodwork. You know, over the summer, I made love to a lot of women in the 1960s. Sam Ann slipped in there. Anyway, that's it for the voicemails. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for everyone who called in. Let's head to the conference room for a little Fundle Bundle.
Hello and welcome to Fundle Bundle, the segment that is so titled because this is just Sean and Alex indulging me. I wanted to share a couple more things with you, our beloved listeners. I know that I previously...
conference room, 5 minutes. No, no, 5 seconds.
You may now begin.
Really well done. That should be my did I stutter. So when I'm just in the middle of nothing rant, you just start with the, you just hit the conference room drop, even if it's during the main body of the episode. Before I was so comedically interrupted, Sean and Alex are just indulging me in some things I wanted to talk about. I know I talked about office moments from my Philippines trip, but afterwards I thought, like, I feel like I'm forgetting one. I talked to, all I did was eat at Chili's and see something at a market. So the moment that I had forgotten was we were playing a family game of volleyball, and there were a lot of, you know, there was a mix of ages in the group, and somebody was like, is everyone clear on the rules? And I said, back home, we only have one rule. No kicks to the groin, home by dinner. And nobody got on, but I was
nobody
very
laughed.
No, but they just didn't know what I was talking about, but very proud moment for myself. Also, I need to open this very quickly.
Did they laugh at the comment at least? Or like, it's funny on its own, even if you don't get the reference.
I don't know if, I don't think they did. But I also don't think they were really paying attention to me. We were like all getting ready. There's a lot of us. There was a lot of chaos. But
Were there any like loud sighs or anyone rolling their eyes?
We had a couple people rage quit after I said that. So
I do like the idea of someone being like, my cousin who lives in he lives in Switzerland, but he's from the States. Mm-hmm. I guess when they play volleyball, they like kicks to the groin or a thing and it goes late because he said they no kicks to the groin and home by dinner. So.
Yeah.
Whole different volleyball world over there.
Mm-hmm. But there you go. That was like the most office specific thing that happened on the trip or that I can recall at the very least. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up was I sent notes for the episode, The Office Walks Into a Bar. And Alex, thankfully, read the sort of description, my thoughts, reflections on the bar at the top of the episode, which was very nice. But they didn't include the top of the letter, which I was perhaps the most proud of. So I'd like to read
it to
you.
I put the rest in my shoe and I forgot about it until just now.
There you go. And I don't want your foot letter, but here it is anyway. And it was, so the idea would be that the three of you, Sean, Alex, and Allison will be reading this on the pod, and it would go, from the desk of Edwin James, dear Sean, Alex, and Allison, by now you've received my note. How are you? I am well. You are no doubt wondering why I have sent this note. It's come to my attention that in any physical match with you, I would surely be bested. The soft underbelly of my refined upbringing is my soft underbelly. So I had to read this letter. Should we hit these discussion questions quickly?
Yeah, yeah. This is on me. Please. I forgot to include these in our.
I'm not trying. No, no. So it's fine. Don't take this on yourself.
I'm going to take a few episodes off and kind of, you know, collect myself and go back to my roots.
Have a personnel day. Yeah. Okay. Two discussion topics that I thought of. What is each character's drink of choice when they go to a bar, or a type of beer drink that fits each character? So that was the first question.
I don't see what's so ugly about him. He's got the broad face of a brewer.
So we can start with like Michael Scott, when he walks into a bar, goes to the drink, or what does he order? Besides what we know, grenadine.
I think we're firmly in your corner, Sean. I'd like you to lead here.
Pick these for every, okay.
Or at least give us, your initial thoughts.
Right, right. We know about his Scotch and Splenda and grenadine. Man, he likes a sugary
He likes a really sugary.
He likes a really sugary drink.
But also
drink.
Really strong.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Scotch, the one of everything. Orange vodka. Yeah.
Strong and sweet.
I mean, that's like an Arnold, a Long Island iced tea is strong and sweet. Yeah. Maybe that's.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Scotch and Splenda is the obvious answer, but if a real drink that someone would order and actually be able to be served.
Yeah. I think I got one for him. Let me see if I have this right. This cocktail. Yeah. Okay. This is it's called the Dirty Shirley, but it's,
yeah, that's
it's
good.
A Shirley
yeah.
Temple with vodka, basically. So it's just like,
there you go.
Exactly. That makes sense. Exactly what Michael's looking for, which is like, I want a kid's drink and I want grenadine. It to have booze in it.
Yep. Yep.
Like booze ever killed anybody.
That's good. Okay. Jim is, I feel like Jim's just a light beer.
Jim's a Miller Lite. Just a bottle, glass bottle of Miller Lite.
Do you think if Cam's Jim ordered... would drink a cocktail, what do you think he'd order? Something like very, very straightforward, I think.
Whew. Probably a gin and tonic?
Yeah, or like whiskey.
Yeah, G&T.
Only because at some point someone probably said a gin and tonic, and he's like, that's my drink.
That sounds nice, actually.
A little gin and tonic.
Sean, you were going to talk about Pam. Right.
I was going to say, we know that, you know, Pam has ordered wine before.
Pam's getting second drink. She's just finishing empties.
That's true. She had the blue. Oh gosh, it's in the extended cut. The name of the blue margarita that she has.
Blue margarita. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see her getting like.
Strawberry margarita.
She also likes cinnamon too.
I don't think Pam even has a regular drink. I feel like she's sort of just
mixes it
in
up.
The moment.
I can see that.
And Jim's the one who's just like always gets the same thing, and ham and cheese. You know, he's playing it safe.
How about Dwight?
I actually see Pam as a beer drinker. I see her as like, I don't know why. I feel like she can really. I think she could outdrink Jim, for sure.
I mean, that's what Mary Meredith's like. Do you want a beer? She's like, beer sounds amazing right now. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. You know, one of the plain hardy women of Scranton. I think she's hitting, she's slamming beers.
Keeping it in the desk clump. How about Dwight? We know at Benny, we know that he tries to order Foster's in the big can, and hot sake. Nagasaki's or no, that's an Andy drink. They do the what's the drink that they drink with Ryan? When they go on the sales call,
I thought they're
It's a drop shot of some kind. We don't know what it is, but
we don't know what it is. Okay,
It almost looks like a drink that I think Dwight would have, which is called a Wisconsin Lunchbox, which is a drop shot. You take a
what is that? I don't know this.
I don't know how I know that. It's a half pint of lager, and you put a shot of orange juice in that, and then you drop, and the drop in is a amaretto liqueur, and you drink all that together, and it tastes exactly like drinking a poppy seed muffin. Like it's that almost that same taste. It's kind of crazy. You're not sure it's going to work, and then it's delicious.
Well,
so
I also see Dwight getting a Moscow Mule.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's just his love of fascism.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, Dwight doesn't like the international thing so much. International House of Pancakes, you know?
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
But I also could see him... He likes getting Moscow Mules because he brings his own copper mug to the bar. Mm-hmm.
He does drink beet vodka. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you make it with this? Yeah, he's... Yeah, beet... I mean, he's generally like prefers home brews, but when he goes out, yeah, I think he's getting a Stein, whatever is the most German, biggest German beer he can get.
Yeah,
a big old German beer in a boot. That's what he's getting.
Yeah.
we know about Kelly. We know her drink.
Yeah, 7 and 7, blended,
nice.
Bunch of Marcia still going on, if you can. Yeah,
yeah,
that's perfect for her.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Ryan is also similarly whatever's trending.
Sugar on the rim.
I feel like
Ryan is not interested in anything he has to make himself. We know that.
I'm gonna say Ryan's a penicillin, which is a new cocktail, and it's like it's one that you would know about if you were like followed the New York cocktail bar scene.
I'll have an F train to Brooklyn, extra bitters.
I could so see Ryan. Always orders a cocktail. The bartender doesn't know what it is, like something really weird. I'd be like, can you, could I get a this? And I'd be like, what is that? And he'd be like, oh, never mind. I'll just have a beer. Like really,
really
condescending. He, like, okay.
Cause he also doesn't know what's in it.
Yeah. He can't give you the ingredients. I like that. Andy?
Let's see.
Martini?
I mean, G&T might be good for Andy too, just because of his like East Coast elitism. I feel like I see him drinking that, but we've also coined the Andy Boulevardier on this podcast.
Indeed,
which
Bernardier. Negroni with bourbon instead of gin, which I also think he would enjoy.
I think he's you know, a fifth of SoCo. Boot rally,
right?
No, but he is from the acapella crowd. That is where he's from, and only knowing this from our acapella group we had at U of O, shout out to On the Rocks, that I learned that straight vodka is very, very popular with vocalists. It clears the throat. It's like relaxes.
Vodka soda.
Yeah. So just like a vodka is actually good, can be good prep for singing sometimes, or at least I would see On the Rocks. You know, doing shots of vodka before their performances. And that's what I was told, even if it's bullshit. Just, I could see Andy being talked into chugging vodka often.
Ugh. I could see Andy and Kelly, for that matter, being really into celebrity liquors.
Like Terramana
tequila,
Aviation
gin. I could see them. Like
Snoop Dogg just released a red wine.
Yeah. I could see, both of them being really into the celebrity
That's a great
alcohol.
Call.
Definitely. Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola collection. Ever heard of him? Do you know anything about film? All right. We could probably keep going, but
drink.
I think we've hit enough.
Yeah. Sure, that's fair. Yeah. Last discussion question. Forget the teapot letter. Let me see Danny Cordray's bar. Public school at exit 11. All we know from the episode is that it had darts. So, fellas, what do you think was happening at public school?
I want to say that it is in an old public school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of a McMiniman's vibe if you've ever been to Oregon.
We have a place in Portland called the Kennedy School in North Portland.
Yeah.
It's an old converted school that, this is pretty much what the vibe I'm thinking too. Big.
It's an old schoolhouse or something.
Big chalkboard that they have the menu on, like an old school sliding panel chalkboard. And like, you know, those chalkboards were like, it hasn't been like properly wiped in a while. And all the old erase marks are there and they're just kind of right on top of those. It would kind of look like that beer list on there.
I don't know. I mean, I also picture there's a bar in Portland called the Horse Brass. That's they're like a darts bar. Like they have dart leagues meet there and stuff like that. And that's a, old British pub vibe. Everything's wood and all mismatched wood tables and chairs and stuff like that.
You know, it'd be great.
We also talked. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, there are some other elements of the school like that could be in this bar that we talked about on this episode. Yo-yos, Scholastic Book Fair, origami, animal mixtape. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I was thinking,
Alex,
for the,
please go
for
with the darts, more serious suggestion.
No, yeah. For the darts area in this public school, I would hope be cool if he was able to get old slats of the hardwood from the gymnasium and like have that be the floor where the darts are, or even the backing on it, you know, kind of keep that, or maybe the old hoop, maybe one of the old basketball hoops is up in the top of the restaurant. I'm seeing maybe
like
some
banners,
old trophies. Yeah, exactly. Pennant banners from the high school, or kind of that's the decoration.
You know, how like pizza places or will have like the little league teams that they sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like photos of old soccer teams or whatever it was, championship winning basketball teams, like old photos, old trophies. That would be a cool thing to have like as a decor.
God, you could do so much in that theme too. Like little lunch trays for the
Scantrons.
Yeah, like for when you order, you know, fries or tots or whatever with your drink. Yeah, it's all in the old school lunch trays. Maybe there's a cocktail that's like served in an old like milk carton, you know, that's like cut on top. And like you could really lean into the school thing there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder too, it must be like that Danny is like a 10% like, you know, owner or something like that. Cause I just don't understand why you straight up own and run a bar and are also a salesman.
Traveling salesman.
Yeah. Right. It seems like you could pick one of those and have some time to yourself every once in a while.
Probably, I'd imagine he has someone, he's a partner who's doing the operations and bartending, he just came in as a money.
Right.
Yeah, an investor. And also right. We know Danny's like an amazing salesperson. So there's probably a little bit of that going on. Danny's made an investment and he's, you know,
his buddy's opening a bar. He put down some money. Now,
well, and then maybe
like
Danny's
10%.
The guy also who gets people to invest, gets people to do, you know, because he's such a good salesman. Like,
sure.
Probably has a lot of his sales meetings at the bar, you know, just kind of keeping the marketing going.
Smart.
I see your chilies and raise you my own bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. We get an extra awesome blossom, extra awesome.
You saying chilies remind me of like, you know, chili for lunch, but bartenders are all dressed like a lunch lady, you know, like apron, like
hairnet. Yeah, they would love that. Yeah.
Like when you order, you go down the line, like you start and it's like, get your drink, then you get your food and then you check out and it's like
Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah. Big metal spoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more I'm thinking about it, the more I like it. Want to go here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that concludes Fundle Bundle. Thank you for indulging me.
Thank you.
This extra time.
Let's
a successful unveiling.
All right.
It feels good to be getting heckled instead of Sean. Only right.
I appreciate that. That was good. That was a good one.
Thanks.
Let's wrap this up with some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
This is from Smookler, and was sent to us a while ago. We've already done the first half of this trivia, which was about the episode trivia. The second half of this trivia is the trivia from trivia.
Okay.
So this is going to be a speed round, okay? Because I don't... I'm only going to give you a few seconds to come up with an answer, okay? Before I move us on.
Hit it.
Whoa. All right.
Because
you're murdering the Nardog!
I will say also, you do get extra points for naming the incorrect answers that are also said.
Whoa.
Okay?
Whoa.
So you could be like, not... blank or whatever. Ready, here we go. Ray Charles famously had this state of mind. What is its capital?
Atlanta.
Ding, ding, ding. Hey now, you're not an all-star of the NBA, but you did get your name on you did get your game on when you won the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year award in 2011. Who are you?
Lamar Odom.
Correct.
Correct.
Incorrect answer, Sean Marion.
Yes. And LaDainian Washington and Ron Artest.
Wow. What a
I'm
name.
I'm thinking LaDainian Washington.
Who was Elizabeth Taylor's sixth man?
Ooh. Lamar Odom.
And Richard Burton. Who was the relatively unknown patent clerk that discovered that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared?
Einstein.
Albert Einstein. Everybody gets Everyone that, got right?
Except the Einsteins. Except
the Einsteins. Oh, except for the Einsteins. This man had a fatwa declared on him.
Oh, Salman Rushdie.
Yes. Also, Larry David. heading out to sea sailors on a square rigged ship, the sail set furthest forward is called what?
Jib.
Flying jib.
Flying jib. Thank you. According to a recent survey, this is the most common learning disability among American adolescents.
Dyslexia.
Dyslexia.
Correct. Not
ADHD. ADHD.
The standard American analog scale has a maximum capacity of what weight?
Ooh.
250 pounds?
And 300 pounds.
I was going to say 290. I don't know. I was going to say 290.
300 pounds. Finally, cinephiles, put on your memory berets. This 2001 masterpiece from, I can't pronounce this, Gil Pacquiao-Brenet explores the intricate dynamics of a family in disarray.
Les Jolies Choses.
Ding, 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 correct. Not Le Scaphandre et Le Papillon. also, not a trivia question. This is from Smookler. Not a trivia question. Wanted to get your opinion on something. At 14 minutes and 28 seconds in the Peacock version, there is a shot of the Quirinstein Bears trivia team. I think one of the contestants looks like Steve Carell in a fake beard. And apparently NBC has denied it. Which is interesting that other people have brought this up. I don't have it in front of me, but I wanted just to know if you guys had ever thought that.
I have not seen this.
I'm Googling right now.
Googling?
I'm doing a little Googling. Oh, wow. I see what they're talking about.
Did you just Google Steve Carell trivia
Carell
episode?
Steve Carell comes
trivia
up.
Trivia episode. It doesn't really look like him.
At all. I see it. That's
I see it, but it's definitely not him.
That's amazing.
Oh, whoa. It's not him.
No.
But that is...
It's been revisited a few times, okay? On Vulture, there's an article that pops up that said, did Steve Carell secretly cameo on The Office last week? So it must have happened January 18th, 2012. Wow. There's also stuff on Reddit from 6 years ago. Quirinstein Bears had a Michael lookalike. Was Steve Carell in disguise in The Office tonight? Wow, that's crazy.
Huh.
The beard is ridiculous. It's a little funny.
It is. It almost looks more like Robin Williams a little bit, mixed with Steve Carell, is the vibe.
It's his, yeah. His hair, I feel, is a bit thin.
Yeah.
And long Steve. In the back.
This is a great podcast.
Yeah.
Content.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, you can look at it yourself.
We'll throw it on the IG. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Thank you very much, Smookler. Thank you so much for sending that. If you want to email us some trivia, best way to do that, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Email us some trivia. Email us your opinions on the things we say. You can also call us at 503-694-9314. We're bound to have another voicemail episode in a few months, yeah. So give us a call. Check out our store, msbcstore.com. Check out our Discord. That's in the show notes. Check us out on patreon.com/MichaelScott, and you can become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You heard
Hot
all about
guy.
That. So very, very special thanks to our Scott's Tots. Very special thanks to Kayla and Brianna, who run our Discord. Thank you to Ryan Lloyd, who designs our artwork. This episode was recorded on location in Portland, Oregon, USA, and Zurich, Switzerland.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us, for interacting with us, for calling in and leaving the voicemails. Those are always so amazing that we get to just kind of hear what people think, hear what people sound like, get a chance to talk back and forth with our fans a little bit or our listeners. It's amazing. So just appreciate everyone who listens and calls in, writes in, sends us messages. It is the best. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are a dream maker. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppity, give me this up.
Yes, sir.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.